All right, good morning. Hey. Thanks, Bill. All right, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. So on Mother's Day, we got flowers for all the ladies in the church. And today, we got nothing. So I'm sorry if I don't know if that's... Somehow it still seems fair. I don't know how, but I don't know why. Yeah. But we still appreciate you, fathers. And the role of a father is a very, very important part of life, of society, of... So, anyways, I appreciate you guys, even if I didn't get you anything. So... All right, so my name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio, and I was just thinking about what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to come together and worship God, and to come together and encourage one another in faith, and to speak words to each other and be together. I know a lot of people are traveling, and there's a lot of people out of town, which is... probably smart when it's 106 out, but anyways, for those of you that are braving the heat, it's nice to be together. It's such a privilege. I feel like I have such a privilege to be able to speak, and so I get to, I don't know, spend all this time taking thoughts and taking parts of the Bible and reading through it and trying to turn it into something that's meaningful. And I feel like the main person who really connects with is me, because it's what I've been thinking of. And yet I hope there's something for everybody in that. I hope that everybody gets something out of this time. And I trust that as we share life, we can connect at some level with that. And so I'm going to share a little bit about my life and kind of where I'm at. And I hope also that you can find a piece in that that's really, really good for you. So please grab a pen. You're going to need a pen. There's some in the backs of the chairs, hopefully, around. But get a pen or pencil to write. There's some questions for you to think about this morning. And the other morning, lying in bed, I was thinking about, I just felt like the most important thing, something I come back to a lot in life, is that what Jesus offers us is a relationship with God, not religious duty. And I come back to that a lot. And I want to lay that out there. What Jesus gives us is not a bunch of rules and a bunch of methods and a bunch of things to do. What Jesus gives us is a relationship with God. And sometimes we change that and we make it into something else. But Jesus came that we could know God, that we could have a connection with God, that we could have this connection that lasts forever, that never ends. He came that we could be with God. And to me, that's just so unbelievably profound and amazing. And so I think it's one of the greatest, I think it's the single greatest event in history, is that Jesus came and Jesus laid down his life because there was something that was separating us and holding us back from God. And that was our own stuff, our own sin, our own nature, our own rebellion, our own independence. And he came and he offered a sacrifice. He offered himself to take away that barrier so that we could be with God and be with him forever. And so I do think it's the greatest event in history. Jesus died. He gave himself freely. And then he came back from the dead 3 days later. And all of that, he took on himself all of that sin, all of that weight from us, but by the power of God, it could not keep him in the grave. And God's power brought him back from the dead. And we have, through Jesus, the opportunity to go straight to God, to be connected to God, and in a real way, have a real relationship with him that will never end. And there's no longer a list of religious duties. It is a gift by faith. Peter was one of the followers of Jesus, and he wrote a couple of letters that we have in the Bible. And in that first letter, in chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "For Christ also suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." That's us. He's the righteous one. "To bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." What a beautiful truth. What a beautiful thing to have access. And so my first question for you is just, it is about a relationship. What do you think would help you grow in your relationship with God? I want you to jot down an idea. And so honestly, of this entire handout, I think what you wrote down right there might be the most important thing on this entire handout. And I think a lot of times we know what it would take to deepen that relationship. And I want to encourage you to engage in that. And so why don't we pray in that vein. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for creating us and loving us and caring about us. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up a way that we could be with God, that we could be in communion, be connected to God, even inside us, in our inner being. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for what you're doing. God, I ask that you would grow each one of us to know you more, to trust you more, to walk with you, to fall in love with you. I ask that you would speak to us this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask you to open our eyes and to move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was thinking about this, I feel like there's some people that need to ask some really honest questions of God. That might be a really good step. Do you really love me? Are you really there? Can I really trust you? And to let God answer those questions in a way that only he can answer those questions. But to actually ask him that. And to engage in that. I feel like there's some people that, to grow in their relationship with God, there's some places of obedience where God has asked you to do something in obedience. And you may have shied away. And as you step forward in obedience in those areas that he's asked you to, you will find more of him. And you will grow in that relationship. And so, I don't know what you wrote down, but I encourage you to really dig into that. And so today I want to talk about something that I think is really important in our relationship with God. And I think this is what keeps us from becoming apathetic in our lives. It keeps us from becoming critical. It keeps us from becoming bitter and wanting revenge. It keeps us from becoming fearful. I want to share something that I think people have practiced for thousands of years, and that gives power to our life and sustains us. And that is that part of our relationship with God is learning to trust God with the pieces of our lives, to engage with Him in all the little pieces of our life. To not hold back anything from God, but to go into those spots and to process life. And so, last week I went for a walk. It didn't quite look like this, but I went for a prayer walk in the evening. I was walking down the path, the canal. It's kind of a lonely canal, a lot more deserty, and just praying and thinking through. And so I've been a high school teacher for 9 years at Bowie High School here. And I was walking down this path, and I got to the corner of the path, and then it turned and went at an angle. I just stood there, and recently I got recognized as a pastor, and I'm moving to full-time ministry, to work full-time here at the Rio. And so as I'm on this corner, I could look back and see all the way straight down this path. And I could look forward and see where the path is going. And I just stood on that corner and just sat there for a while and just engaged with God and just took some time to remember the past and took some time to pray about it and took some time to look ahead and think about what's coming and to prepare and engage and ask God to be in that. And I feel like that's what it's about. A relationship is about bringing those pieces of life in a real way to God and processing them. And so we need to process the past. A piece of processing the past is thanksgiving. So easy to take things for granted. Every time my wife is really late or I can't get a hold of her on her cell phone, and I start going, oh no, where is she? What's going on? I realize how much I take her for granted. And I think it's so easy to just take life in general for granted. And how often do we stop and just thank God for what He's done? God has done such amazing things in our lives. And I was thinking about just this amazing opportunity I've had for 9 years to teach in this high school and to love these beautiful students that I've had for 9 years and to be loved back and to be able to pass on things and try to help them have a better future and to have conversations and to be a part of their world. And to teach with the staff that I've taught with. The last day of teaching, it was finals. One of the teachers came into my room and he shook my hand and put his arm around me. He said, I just wanted to watch the last 12 minutes of your career. It's like, wow, I didn't even think of that. They're just like pretty boring taking a final. It's like they don't even realize this is like the last 12 minutes of a legend. Like, whoa. And then the next day they threw a going away party for me. All 10 of the other science teachers said very kind, generous things to me. And we cried together and just appreciated that time. It was cool. Just how often do we stop and just appreciate? And so I want to ask you just to stop for a moment here. What are you thankful for? do we take the time in a busy life to just engage with God and be like, wow, you've actually given me some incredible gifts. Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you care about me. I appreciate that you would do that. The second thing, looking back on the past, there's regrets and failures. And to look at those, as I was looking back at my 9 years, it's unbelievable the amount of opportunities that I've missed. And how many times I've just gone through the motions of just having a job and trying to make it through the day. And how many opportunities I missed to let there be more than just me and not just about trying to have people like me and try to be a cool teacher, but to actually engage on a deeper level and speak some truth to people and to love people and go out of the way to just be there. And there's some really cool opportunities that I've had. And some of them I've taken and some of them I haven't. I remember my first year of teaching. I had a student who did not like me at all. His name was Juan Santos. And he would not listen to me. He would not even, I don't know, he was very disrespectful. He would just totally ignore me sometimes. I would come to his desk and talk to him. And I made it kind of my goal to win him over. And so I was respectful to him no matter how he was to me. And over time, he slowly kind of warmed up to me a little bit. And I remember the class I was teaching was a class just to help him pass the state test. And as soon as they passed the test, they would leave my class. And so he's in my class, and they're taking the test in the middle of the year. And he says to me during the test, "Mr. Cranston, if I pass this test, do I have to leave your class?" I was like, "Yep, if you pass this test, you get to leave my class." And he's like, "I'm actually starting to like your class." And so he passed the test, and he was taken out of my class, and he came back to my class just to visit, probably 3 weeks later. And he came in, and I was teaching, and he put his arm around me, and he said, "You guys should listen to him. He actually knows what he's talking about." It was like, so cool. And then there's other people that I never made it over that bump. I never really connected with. And I just gave up on some. And so I look back at some of the regrets and failures. I also look back at some of the hurts and losses. And hurts and losses are a very real part of the human experience. We all have hurts. We all have losses. Last year, I had a couple of students that were extremely challenging to me. I had two of them, especially when they were freshmen as well, and then last year when they were seniors. And there was still, I could sense in myself, the way I treated them, there was still some leftover junk from when they were freshmen, because they were absolutely mean, like belligerent, and they enjoyed it, and they enjoyed having the class enjoy that as well. And there was times when the whole class would have a really, I don't know, good laugh at my expense. And there's this process, and standing for me on the corner looking back, it was like, if there's any leftover unforgiveness in my life, I want to completely forgive. I want to move on completely. And we have a call to forgive as we have been forgiven, which is completely and not because someone earns it. That's how we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven by grace as a gift. And that's the opportunity we have to forgive. And I think in life there's those places where even if you start to talk about them, you can feel your blood pressure go up. For me, it used to be when I would talk about the parking tickets I got in college that were completely unjust. And I slowly, like, calmed down in that. But in the beginning, I wanted to go, like, I don't know, hurt somebody in that office or do something. It was just like, this is not right. And other people can sense that too. Those places where we just haven't dealt with something. And I think that's part of the process of being in relationship with God, is to go to those places with Him. Be honest. Go into the places and engage with God. Be real with Him. So for you, is there anything from the past that's still affecting your life now? Is there some things you haven't dealt with? Are there places where you have not received forgiveness, or where you have not forgiven? Are there places where you still have undone things, where there's still work yet to do? A couple of summers ago, I was subbing for summer school, and there was a student named Carmelo. And the training I had, years ago, they were talking about how it's good to use I statements instead of you statements. So rather than saying, you need to stop doing this, say, I feel this way when students do this. And this guy was being a complete punk, and I took him out into the hall just to get him away from his buddies. Because usually people are a little more mature than... I took him out in the hall and I tried to use what I've been taught. So I said, I feel really disrespected when students act like this. And I kind of explained. And he looked at me and he says, I don't care how you feel. Like, well, that's not how this is supposed to work. And so I said to him, so you don't care if you disrespected me? He's like, no, I didn't say that. I just don't care how you feel. I was like, okay, well, it's not okay for you to disrespect your teachers. And so it was interesting. I hadn't seen him for quite a while, and he came to one of our Fellowship of Christian Athlete meetings in this school year. I saw him at lunch, and he was there. And it was so interesting just how when I saw him, I instantly had those feelings again of like, oh. I was like, man, okay, he's here at our meeting. Hopefully he's interested in seeking God. Like, I don't want to have anything I hold against him. Like, release you, man. Bless you. Come and be a part of this. And anyways, there's just those things that happen in life. Life is so full, and we get so loaded down. There's just pain all over the place. People hurt us. And we have loss. And I don't want to be the kind of person that carries those for years and lets them affect my life and my joy down the line. I want to be the person who's able to engage with God and give those to God and meet Him in those. And let His voice and His presence and His love wash into those. But it's challenging. It's challenging to go there. It's challenging to do that. And I think there's a lot of questions. How do we have time to even do that? Life is so busy. And I think sometimes I feel that way, but realistically, we have time for an hour on Facebook. We have time to watch our favorite show. We have time for all kinds of things we love. We have time if it's important for us. But I think even more is, how do we go there? How do we find that energy to, like, I don't know. It's just so much easier to just medicate it with something else. This world is so full of things to just soothe life and just kind of, I don't know. We have all kinds of entertainment. We have so many things that will just fill in that space. But inside, we still just have this numbness, like, just kind of lack of life. And so, just a couple things for me. I find it's really helpful for me to walk. And when I walk, I can talk to God. One of the teachers came by my room and he was peeked in the window. He said, "You look like he's a boxer." He's like, "You look like you're getting ready for a fight, like a caged lion pacing around your classroom." It's like, "You got a fight coming up?" I was like, "No, I'm just processing life. Like, I want to engage with God in life." And for me, it helps to walk around. It helps in that process. Whether it's around my classroom or it's out on the canal. Another thing I find is helpful is just a campfire. The rare times I sit around a campfire and just get lost in thought. I find it's helpful to have people to talk to. Sometimes it's hard to, I don't know, go through that process, but to have a person that you can really share some things. And I want to challenge you in that, not to just vent to each other, but pray for each other. Be someone who helps bring that to God. Be someone who helps connect that person to the source of healing, connects that person to God, and to pray for each other and engage in that, and to not be afraid to speak and to hear what's really happening in people's lives. I'm not much of a musician, but I know of people and appreciate the value of music in that, of coming to God and singing a song to God. Some people that write songs are able to express in a really deep way things with God and connect with Him in that, in the music. I encourage you to write things down. Sometimes that helps, just to write. And sometimes I write things, and at the end, it's just like a simple prayer. "God, I give you this," or "God, help me in this." But to go to that place, I find for me sometimes too, I just get caught in my head, and it's just like cruising around. And to actually, I don't do it that much, but some of the key things, to speak them out loud, to cry out loud. "God, I need you." Just all of this, just kind of inner dialogue, but to bring some of it out and speak it out, I find is really helpful. And sometimes it's a phrase that I'll repeat over and over again, just because it's, I don't know, there's some power in it to just speak that out loud. "God, I'm yours. I'm here. I'm yours." And just to say that. Or, "God, I need you." All right, so I think there's also just kind of that question, is it worth the effort to connect with God in the messiness of life? Or are we okay with becoming apathetic, critical, bitter, fearful, and just filling our life with other things? All right, so the second thing, standing on the corner, looking to the future. So taking the time to look at the past, taking the time to change, to repent, to set a different course, to seek forgiveness and forgive, and then looking ahead, looking at dreams. What dreams do I have? Surrendering the plans and dreams I have, letting God have ownership in those, and trusting Him. Sometimes I get really scared. Sometimes I let fear stop me from just big dreams. Stop me from things in the future that I know will be challenging, and to trust God in those and to really engage with Him in trust. So the fourth question on your sheet, what plans do you think God might have for your life? What opportunities do you think God might have for you even this week? Steve and I had a really cool opportunity this week to go to a pastor conference in Des Moines for a couple days. And it was really encouraging just to kind of look ahead and kind of be envisioned and think about just what are we living for? What's our vision? What's our focus? And there's changes we'd like to make in our church. There's changes I'd like to make in my own life. And I think a big part of that is trusting God. A big part of that is relying on Him to bring those to Him. He is the one that accomplishes things of value. And He is trustworthy. And sometimes we make plans, and yet it's hard to actually, I don't know, seek God's direction and wisdom in those, His power. I think to begin the day, even with a simple prayer of asking God to fill you with His Spirit and His power and to walk in that power, even a simple thing like that is just a tremendous thing to begin looking ahead. It's so easy just to rush into the next thing and not even really be prepared, not even really be engaged, not even really having any... knowing what you're trusting God for, or even knowing what He wants in it. And that's a huge challenge for me. It's a huge challenge to look ahead and to really engage in that. And I want to challenge you guys to look ahead too. All right, so King David is an amazing example of being real with God. I want to look at a little bit. Last week I had started to kind of go through King David's life. He's got an amazing life, very fascinating. The story is in 1 and 2 Samuel in the Bible. And there's chapters and chapters written about David. And his relationship with God is just amazing. And so maybe in a couple weeks or something I'll dig into his life a little more and share some of that. But he was a warrior. And he was amazingly successful and powerful man. And yet he played the harp. And he engaged with God at a level that is really commendable. And he wrote songs. And we have a bunch of songs. I think there may be more, but I think like 74 of the Psalms that are in the Bible have his name at the beginning of them. And he wrote songs of complaint to God, complaining about his circumstances and trying to find God in those. He wrote songs to God about when he had completely blown it. When he had taken somebody else's wife and killed her husband. And he wrote songs of repentance and engaging with God with his utter failure. And he wrote songs to God of just excitement and anticipation and appreciation for who he was. And he wrote all kinds of songs. And it wasn't just he wrote songs. His heart was given to God at that level. And I just think he's a great example. I want to read a couple of psalms that he wrote, just kind of as an example. Many people use the psalms as places to pray through. Sometimes it's hard to find words to pray and to read one and then kind of repeat that to God and add to it what you want to. We're going to read Psalm 62. I think there's some Bibles under the chairs. Psalms is kind of in the middle of the Bible. Bless you. In fact, I think it is the very middle of the Bible. And so if we go to Psalm 62 and just get a snapshot of David's. David's rawness, his realness with God. These are nice. All right, Psalm 62. We got it in Spanish and English. This is cool. I wish I could read Spanish better. I'd read it in Spanish. All right, for the director of music, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. I like that he's singing to himself. Find rest, O my soul. He's like, come on, self. Find rest in God. Continuing in 6, He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him. For God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. How cool to write that and then to sing that to God and to engage on that level. Let's just continue on in 63 because 63 is fantastic. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Isn't that a beautiful snapshot into his relationship with God? Just so real and so, I don't know, just rich. Let's do the piece of one more. Psalm 37. So if you back up just a little bit. So even David, with all his victories and all the ways God used him to do amazing things, he still had fear in his life. This psalm's got some pretty good things about fear. We'll just read the first 7 verses of David. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Life is full of challenges and blessings and hurts and dreams, and as we walk with them with God, we're able to make it through them. We're able to find an abundance of life. And so, I just encourage you guys to, whatever you wrote down, what would it take to have a deeper relationship with God? Take the time to do that. Take the time to ask those questions. Take that time to be real with God. Take that time to seek him and see what he has for you. And to not just let life get filled up with everything else. We're not here just to kind of cruise through life and then one day be with God in heaven, but to have a relationship with him now in the brokenness of life. And so it is about a relationship with God through Christ. May each of ours grow. Father God, thank you for allowing us to have a relationship with you. Thank you that you care about us enough that you would want to know what is on our hearts. And I ask that you would give us the courage to pour out our hearts to you, to go deeper with you. I ask that you would give us time to and desire to meet with you and to seek you. God, I ask that you would heal some tremendous wounds, even in this room of life, that you would come into those wounds, that you would meet there, that you would soothe and heal and forgive. God, I ask that you would give us dreams together as a church, together as people, of what incredible things you would like to do with us. I ask that you would give us the courage to walk in those things and to trust you in those things because you are trustworthy. Pray that you wouldn't let us hold back because of the darkness of this world, but to walk boldly forward with you. Thank you that we can know you. Thank you for knowing us. In Jesus' name, amen.